So what do you have planned this week? And what do you think about it being the week of what we would say Thanksgiving week? In reality, sometimes Thanksgiving has just been reduced to one day and then sandwiched before and after Thanksgiving is the fall of Christmas time and gifts and stuff like that. And Thanksgiving is almost kind of American holiday that's fading away in a lot of ways, isn't it? But it is a time, even if it is kind of being diminished, of we're going to go spend time with the family. We're going to eat a nice big meal, maybe a couple meals, I don't know. But I want to ask you two questions. Question number one. Has there ever really been a time when people living today, especially in our country, has there ever been a time where someone else has had more than what we have today? Now let's just compare our week this week to the people of times past. Okay, let's say, for instance, you're going to go and travel and be with family. Today we have longer lifespans than in times past in a lot of ways. Medical reasons, modern invention of technology. And I would say some of the family that we're going to go see, we're going to go be with, if we lived 100 years ago, they wouldn't even be alive, some of them. Right? Another thing is, you may have to get the car and travel 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, but imagine doing that on horseback. You probably couldn't make the trip. It'd take you a lot longer. You know, some people may fly in over to go to the holidays for Thanksgiving on a plane. Imagine you would have to last week. Perhaps you'd have to start if you had to do that on foot or horseback or whatever. We live in a time where transportation is better than it's ever been. You go with you. Let's say you travel to your parents' place or your aunt and uncle's place. What do you bring with you? Probably bring more clothes with you in your bag than what a lot of people owned in the history of man altogether, as far as their wardrobe is concerned. And the list can go on and on. On Thursday, you'll probably get together and you'll probably have a meal, and you'll probably have more food than you can even eat. You will probably eat too much anyway, but even then, there's going to be so much left over, we might just end up throwing some of it out or causing it to go bad, basically. And what's my point? My point is, has there ever been a time where we've had more than what we have today? But here's question number two. Has there ever been a time where perhaps we've been less thankful than what we are today? Now, I don't know your heart, and I don't know your mind, and I hope as a Christian you're thankful and thankful every day, not just one time a year, one day a year, for the blessings God gives us in life. But I really wonder if maybe in spite of our amazing prosperity, we're guilty of the sin of ingratitude. Yes, ingratitude is actually sin for a Christian. And so here's what I want to do this morning. I want to go through the ABCs in the Bible of thankfulness. Okay? I want to start with C and make A last. But hopefully when you leave this morning, you'll understand the concept or the basics of the idea of thankfulness. Let's just go ahead and start first with the C. First off, being thankful is actually commanded by God. It's not an option. It's a command that a Christian must live by. Let me give you a few passages of Scripture real quickly. Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, the Bible says, "Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding," he says, "in thanksgiving." Drop down and look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called, and be thankful," he says. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 19, says, "Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in the heart of the Lord, giving thanks always for everything, God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus." We noted this passage last week. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, the Bible says to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. See that? Thanks. Thankfulness. Thanksgiving. God actually commands it as a Christian. In fact, I want to share something with you. There's one chapter of the Bible that describes the downward spiral of a heathen life, an ungodly life. And, you know, when anytime someone lives a very, you know, irreputable, ungodly life, it always starts with what they believe about God. I mean, if you love God and you love the Lord and you want to live for the Lord, you're not going to live an ungodly life, are you? It's when you don't care about God or you don't believe in God that eventually leads to a life of ungodliness. What we believe about God determines everything about us. And in Romans chapter 1, when Paul is describing how nations and individuals that historically reject God, forget God, deny God, they form their own religion and everything, one of the things that he mentions, basically, is the very fact here that they become unthankful. They become unthankful. Verse 21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. You know, what you believe about God sometimes determines your thankfulness. Let me give you a quick example. John MacArthur, I don't remember everything this man believes, but he noticed there's sometimes three ways that people look at the world. Sometimes people look at the world as the idea of luck. Luck. Life is about luck. And when life is all about luck, nothing has control. There is no control. Things just happen to happen that way. If one person does not have luck, you then can become bitter about life, you can become sour about life, you try to seek to manipulate luck and how to become lucky, basically. But in the end, even if you are lucky and you do have good fortune, who do you really think? I mean, you can't think luck, can you? I mean, there is nothing to think at all, basically. Luck does not have control over itself. So how can you be thankful for luck? But that's what people go through. They go through life and they think it's all about luck. So they live a thankless life. And then there are people who are kind of fatalist, basically. Who are fatalist at the point where, you know, they think life is preset by the stars or something else. There's some kind of force, and you simply just have to accept your destiny, basically. You don't argue with it. So if you're a fatalist, you know, I can't change myself because of this, or you know, there's things I just can't control in my life. And so even if you do have good fortune, again, who's to thank for it? And then there are other people who are perhaps what we see today, the successful, positive people, but are independent of God. What do I mean by that? Well, they're successful in their job, they're well-liked, they made it big, they succeeded in all of their pursuits, they accomplished their dreams and their goals, they planned to prepare for it, pulled it off. But when it comes time to give all the credit goes to them, and maybe God is some kind of token, basically, but God really gets no credit at all. And the sad truth about it is in that situation, they don't account for the fact that God put them in the right place in the right time and gave them the right abilities to be born with the right attributes in order for them to succeed and to be prosperous or to accomplish their goals. And so God is everything, too. It's all about me. Well, what's my point? My point is, you know, are we the person who just relies on luck, even though it doesn't really exist, biblically speaking? Are we the fatalist? Are we the person that's only solely focused on ourselves? Or are we going to be the person that realizes that God is in control of life, and God is the one who's in control of the universe, and anything good that happens is a result from Him. Anything bad that happens, it's not that He's responsible for evil, but ultimately we can be drawn closer to Him and learn from Him. In other words, every day of our life, in every situation in life, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks. Thankfulness is commanded. Let's move on. Here's the other thing about thankfulness I want to spend a few minutes on. You realize there are a lot of benefits to thankfulness. Now, some of these things, when the Bible commands to be thankful, some of these things are implied that I'm going to give to you. But the truth is a lot of these have been discovered today through modern technology, modern medical studies, psychological studies. And here's some things we've learned about thankfulness. Thankfulness is actually good for our physical health, believe it or not. In fact, some research shows that the experience of gratitude can induce a sense of relaxation. It improves the immune system. It decreases our blood pressure. Grateful people tend to cultivate better health habits such as eating more nutritious food, exercising, avoiding risky behaviors. It tends to lessen stress at the same time when you begin to meditate and to be thankful for what you have and who you are. Thankfulness is actually really good for physical health, and it can prevent health problems long term. It's also good for our mental health. You realize many survivors of the Holocaust, you think about what a survivor of the Holocaust went through. Many survivors of the Holocaust, when they were asked to tell their stories, remember actually in telling their stories most strongly the feelings of gratitude. Right? Yes. When they told their stories, they would express feelings of gratitude for food, for shelter, for clothing that was offered to them. And this sense of thankfulness they found for the small blessings helped them maintain their humanity despite experiencing horrific tragedy. And many people with life-threatening illnesses, one writer notes, reports decreased distress and increased positive emotion when they practice gratitude. In fact, we found that in MRI studies, they map literally a gratitude aspect. They can track it in the brain, which activates a sense of reward, fairness, and decision-making in all aspects that help facilitate survival and post-traumatic growth. I mean, it's good for your mental health. Think about this. Thankfulness can even help with anger. One way that we can calm a temper that is flared is actually to focus on what's good and all the good things in life. And a lot of times that can prevent us from lashing out at someone. Thankfulness can breed contentment and appreciates the gift in and of itself. I mean, the list can go on. It's good for the physical health. It's good for mental health. It's great for relationships. A husband and wife that complements one another and shows takes note of what each does as far as acts of service goes, or what they do for the kids, or what they do for each other. What does that mean? That contributes to a closer, better, and happier marriage. Just saying thank you goes a long way, doesn't it? Now, relationships are helped also when you think about thankfulness means you have to think about others, and it shifts the focus off of self and being focused on me and consideration for others. It also breeds a heart of service because here's what someone's done for me. I need to do this for them. Thankfulness helps relationships. There are so many benefits to that. Now let's finally get into the last point. Thankfulness is an action. God commands this. In fact, one of the symptoms of ungodly living, rebelliousness towards God, is a heart of unthankfulness, ingratitude. But yet God knows what he's talking about when he says to be thankful, because, you know, sometimes there are commands in Scripture where we may not understand why God gave that command, but we do it anyway because we trust in the Lord. But there are times where it's like, yeah, that makes complete sense. And thankfulness is one of them. But how do I live a thankful life? Well, what about the action of thankfulness? Well, here's the first thing. And this is something we must remember very carefully. Thankfulness, church, is a discipline. It's a discipline. In other words, if you go through your life and you're not thankful, it's because you're not trying to be thankful. And the only way you can really, truly be thankful every day is to make a habit of being thankful every day. It's a discipline to apply, not a natural flow of life. The natural flow of life is for us to be constant grumblers and complainers and be negative and not positive and hate everything about life and see the wrong in everything of life. All of those things are the opposite of times of thankfulness. Thankfulness is an effort. It's a discipline to acquire and to master because it is a command from God. And let me tell you something. There are ways we become disciplined in thankfulness. I'm going to give you three of them right here on the board. Number one, the daily study of Scripture. Church, next time you go home and read the Bible, I want you to go and I want you to read. I want you to find all the things that God, in the Word of God, that we can be thankful for. I don't want to say they're limitless, but they're more than you think and they're more than you realize. It was just this morning, I was thinking about, you know, I think about God's promises in Scripture. What are some things to be thankful for? Just thinking in Scripture, very Scripture, is the promises of God. For instance, I'm thankful for God's universal invitation for salvation. When Jesus said, come with me, all you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You know what he's saying there? Jesus is saying, he said, everyone who's messed their lives up, trying to live their own way, apart from God, and who screwed up royally, and brought nothing but misery and shame on your life, Jesus says, come to me. I'll show you how to live, and I'll give you rest. who's really screwed up. It's for the person in prison. It's for the person who has done terrible things. It's for everyone. It's for you. It's for me. There's a universal invitation of salvation. I'm thankful to God when I read the Bible. I look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 when God says all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Now that verse does not say, if you put God first in your life, you know, those Joel Osteen sermons, He's going to make you a millionaire, all your problems are going to go away. No. But sometimes when we serve God, He brings difficulty in our life. Because it's for His purpose, it's for His accomplishment. And when we follow God, God is not a personal genie in a bottle, okay? We are God's servants, and we do what God wants us to do, and whatever He presents us in our life, we remain faithful. But in the end, the Bible says, all things work together for good, for them to love God, and them to are called according to His purpose. That's a promise from God. You may be thinking right now, why am I going through this hardship? Why do I have all these difficulties in life? And you know what? 30 years later, you may realize why. Or the other side of eternity, you may not realize until then. It's God's promise is sure. I mean, I could go on through the list. I'm thankful to God, according to 1 Corinthians 10, that I can learn through the examples of others of not just what to do, but sometimes what not to do. I can learn from the sins of others in Scripture. I know that I promise, and the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, when Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul's not talking about winning a softball game there, okay? He's not talking about getting a job promotion there. What he's talking about in context, that no matter what comes my way, no matter what difficulties in my life, as Paul is writing this from basically Roman imprisonment, he said, I can be faithful to God. I can endure no matter what comes my way through Christ, because Christ gives me strength. That's what he's talking about. Perhaps one of the most misunderstood verses taken out of context in all of Scripture is that one right there. I'm thankful that God gives me their peace, Philippians 4:7. I'm thankful that God promises to provide my sustenance, Philippians 4:19. I'm thankful that God has given me vanity of conscience and we don't act like a bunch of animals. Look at Romans chapter 2. There's a moral oddness with every single one of us that says, this is right, this is wrong. Animals don't have that, but we do. I mean, go through the list and just look at the promises of God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. God will forgive me, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. I don't have to walk around the rest of my life with the burden of guilt and the shame of guilt and the wondering if I'm in the right relationship with God. As a Christian, I confess my sins and He forgives me. I'm thankful that even though in one sense I want to keep living life, no matter what happens tomorrow, there's still going to be a life to come. It's in worship that we get together and express thankfulness to God. Last week we had a whole sermon on prayer. Prayer should be a reminder that every time we go to God in prayer, we're thankful to God. You get that? Thankfulness is a discipline, and it is a discipline that we will acquire when we devote ourselves to the study of Scriptures, we devote ourselves to the daily prayer of God and self-examination, we devote ourselves to the worship of God. When we do these things, we will acquire this command and obey this command that God gives us, but it takes effort. It's not a passive thing. Notice next. The action of thankfulness also comes every day, not just through discipline. But when we honestly step back and we look at the simple, small blessings that God gives us each day. Let me give you two scriptures about this. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, when God commands us to love our enemies, verses 43 through 49, love your enemies. Why? Well, because we're going to be like God when we do that. Why? Because what does God do? One of the things that is said there in that chapter is God makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever read that, how many times you overlooked that? What exactly does that mean? When you think about that, what that meant in first century context in Palestine. If you're growing a garden and you're living off your land, what happens when it doesn't rain? Will you have a crop? Will you be able to feed the livestock that you eat? Will you be able to feed your family? In other words, droughts produce famine, food shortages. Rain was something that was so valuable back then. And God says, hey, you know what? Jesus says, God makes it rain on not just good people, but bad people. He gives everybody rain. And how many times do we walk outside when it rains, we complain? Another rainy day. thing get rain. All of us would eventually die without rain. You understand that? But it's a small, simple, everyday blessing from God that we never really pay attention to, or we never really see in one sense as a blessing from God, do we? You know, we sing a song in our hymnals, and it's a short song. It goes like this. I'm not going to sing it. It's, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end." And notice what it says there. "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." You want to know something interesting? You want to know where that's found in the Bible? That's found in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. There's a book in the Bible named Lamentations. You know what lament means? It means to cry. It means to mourn. And it was written in a time when the prophet Jeremiah, who wrote the book of Lamentations, wrote it at a time where the nation of Judah has been destroyed and taken away as slaves. I don't know how worse things can get for a country, for an individual, as your country's been destroyed, you've lost your family, a bunch of your friends have died, you survived, and now you're getting shipped off to Babylon to be a slave. And yet Jeremiah said this: "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, every day. Great is God's faithfulness." In spite of all that difficulty, in other words, Jeremiah, I believe, still stopped to smell the roses. Church, sometimes it's the small everyday things. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you sat down to look at a sunset and enjoy a nice cup of coffee and be thankful? One of the reasons why perhaps we're not thankful enough is because we're waiting to be thankful for big things. And we overlook to be thankful for the small, everyday things in life. Or maybe you don't like coffee. You got a nice recliner. You got a nice warm bed at night. When was the last time, honestly, we talk about technology, and technology can be a bad thing and used for bad things, but it can also be used for good things. When was the last time we thanked God for modern-day inventions to make our life easier? I mean, there's so many things to be thankful for. It's the small, everyday blessings that we overlook. If we make thankfulness a discipline, we'll see there is more things to be thankful for than there are actually more things to complain about. And notice, and that's just the last point. The final thing is if thankfulness is going to be an action, it's absolutely wrong to complain, express problems. That's okay. It's okay to express problems. But the truth is do we evaluate them? Do we examine our complaints? I'll give you an example. How many of you have ever complained about taxes? I have. Do you know what? At least that means we're employed. I mean, think about that. How many of us have ever complained about the clothes we wear? Maybe they've become a little too snug. And it's not because we're putting on weight, it's because they shrunk in the dryer, right? That is, you know what? At least we have clothes to wear and extra changes of clothes. Think about that. How many of us, have complained about parking, especially this time of year? If you try to go shopping after Thanksgiving, go to Walmart. You're going to go park in the back. You can drive around for 20 minutes and still not find a spot. But you know what? At least it means you're capable of walking. Or how about the heating bill this time of year? The price of gas going up, the price of electric maybe going up. You know what? At least we have a warm home. Have we ever complained about a government? Oh, come on. Some of you go on Facebook all the time. I can read it. At least we have freedom of speech. I mean, at least right now you can post something on social media criticizing the government and you're not going to get arrested. I mean, have you ever complained about all the piles of laundry? Well, at least it means you have loved ones nearby. You think about all of the things we complain about. And you think of how your life is. tree and then roast the beans, grind the beans, and then pour water in it. I just went to McDonald's and got a coffee. You know, I didn't have to grow the wheat, and I didn't have to make the biscuits, you know what I mean, and crush them, whatever the process is of making wheat, because honestly, I've never done it before, and it probably shows. You know, I didn't have to do a pig to make the sausage. I didn't have to, you know, grow potatoes in my backyard. You know what I mean? I didn't have to fry this morning for breakfast. I just went to McDonald's for $3.18, and I got breakfast for myself. That's modern-day technology. 100 years ago, you weren't going to find that right here. I mean, there's so many things to just think about. God giving us ability. God giving us blessings of prosperity. God helping us out as far as our relationship, more importantly, with Him. Think about what God's provided for us. When we begin to look at it that way, it's like, well, that's hard to be thankful after all. There's so many things to be thankful for. But more importantly, beyond any of the temporal blessings that God provides us, is thankful for the gift of salvation. Because one day, all of us are going to leave this world. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Because we're going to live on somewhere. Question is where? And when we walk through this life, I'd rather walk it with God than walk it alone. I'd rather listen to the creator of the universe, how he says to live, because he knows what's best for me, he wants what's best for me, he's revealed what's best for me, and how to live, and how to treat others. He's in the Word of God. And when this life is over, the most important thing in life, the greatest thing, is to be able to see God face to face. That's more valuable than anything in this world. Thankful that he gives me that ability, he gives me that hope through what he did for me 2,000 years ago on the cross through Jesus Christ. When I think about what Jesus did for me on the cross, he died to pay the price for my sins. And then he rose from the dead to prove that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, because through his resurrection from the dead, we all will rise from the dead, and as God's children, we'll be with him forever. You know, if you're here this morning and you're not one of God's children, I want you to think about becoming one. You believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and you really want to follow him and turn away from a life of sin. That's what repentance is. It's a decision to make. It's not that you turn away and live a perfect life immediately. Repentance is a lifelong thing as a Christian, but it's a commitment from this point forward to live how God wants me to live. If you're willing to do that, you can confess you believe Jesus to be the Son of God and throw that confession as the Bible teaches where it baptizes you. As Romans 6:3-4 speaks of baptism, you'll rise to walk in the newness of life.